Welcome back. This is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr here in Washington. Our trip brought to you by the North Dakota Ethanol Producers and Dagelman. And we're here at the office of North Dakota U.S. Senator Heidi Heitkamp. Good to see you again, Senator.
Hey, Mick. It's great to be here.
Yes. I sat at USDA this morning for between 8 and 9 o'clock with Secretary Perdue, and you had him the rest of the morning at a Senate hearing.
We did. This is the second time he's appeared in front of the committee. The first time was his confirmation hearing. Lots of questions about the Farm Bill, lots of questions about what's happening with trade especially, and then taking a look at the RFS and what our expectations should be, you know, with his dealings with EPA, I would say the three major issues.
You, of course, trade were the three words, but the hearing was on the health of or the rural economy, and your sense of the Midwest economy, which is ag-based.
Well, let me put it this way. We've seen a tremendous reduction in farm income. Of course, that's off a high. 2013 was a very good year, but net farm income is basically cut in half. And there's only two ways we make that up. We improve commodity prices or we improve our markets, which should improve commodity prices. I am deeply concerned about both of those things. And the one concern that I have on the horizon long term beyond the Farm Bill is really what's happening with trade policy. And the one thing that, you know, everybody's now focused on the Chinese tariffs, but I took kind of a broader view, I think you heard, when I said, let's start out with pulling out of TPP. Now let's go to renegotiation of NAFTA, and let's go to the wash machine and solar panel tariffs. Let's go to the steel and aluminum tariffs. Let's go to now the threatened tariffs on China. And he, you know, I think I was a little impatient with him when he said, well, we were able to renegotiate the Korean agreement. I said, well, what was in there for agriculture? And he said, well, nothing, but it did no harm. And that's exactly right. But, you know, we expect that there will be some advantage for farmers, not just do no harm. That's the first principle. But it doesn't mean it's a successful renegotiation for us. One of the challenges that we have is we aren't convinced that he's going to do what he needs to do, Lighthizer is going to do, or what he needs to do for dairy. I mean, we're hearing some troubling information coming out of the back channels on the USTR's renegotiation of NAFTA. You know, we don't have a large dairy presence compared to states like New York or Wisconsin or Minnesota, but our producers who are relying on access to markets, it matters to me that they get those markets. And so what we need to do is we need to better understand the administration's trade policy. And at this point, I have to tell you that I don't think that there is a policy as it relates to agriculture. And I think given that the rest of the economy is doing pretty well and that agriculture is one of those spots on the horizon that has more challenges, maybe we should focus our energy at this point on not disrupting our markets in agriculture.
I know it was a hearing or a Q&A, a finding, but did you feel a sense of accomplishment at all or not?
You know, what I got a sense is he's heard it before. I mean, it's not my first time talking to him. I talk to Bob Lighthizer on a regular basis, and, you know, it was our chance to just maybe in a very public setting say what we've been saying privately with the idea that that broader message will be heard within the administration, whether it's Navarro or whether it's, the president himself. They need to understand that this has dramatic effects. When 10 cents a bushel reduction in price results in $25 million loss in farm country on soybeans, we all have to be concerned. And we can't count on Argentina always having a drought. We can't. And that's what's bolstering us at this point in terms of commodity prices. But the concern that I have, there was a report out yesterday that Mexico is on the verge of signing a deal with the EU. You know, that drip, drip, drip of loss of markets should concern all of us. When we produce the highest quality, lowest price product in the world, we should be able to compete against anyone if given that opportunity to get into the markets. But when we're penalized rather than given access to markets, that's going to hurt us. And this idea that we're looking at ways to mitigate, well, every taxpayer in America should wonder why they need to spend money mitigating the damage to farmers when we don't need that mitigation if we only have access to our markets.
Is the future of trade bilateral agreements then, instead of many countries coming together?
I think if you talk to Bob Lighthizer and the president, the answer is yes. They think they have more leverage in bilaterals. I have a tendency to believe that in order to really open up markets, that bargain for exchange, if we were just going to do a bilateral with Japan, let's take that for instance. What's the first thing Japan took off the table when they opened up bilaterals? Agriculture, right? But if Japan is in the TPP, then they're going to have to accept all the terms. And that gives us a bigger negotiating position for agriculture. And so, that's my response. My response is look at Japan. Japan took agriculture off the table. And I think that countries, especially smaller countries who have concerns about food security, the first thing they're going to be protectionist about is, in fact, agriculture. And so for us to leverage a bigger agreement to open up ag markets is pretty critical. And then where we really see a lot of trade distortion, a lot of erection of trade barriers is in India, which a number of people raised today, but absolutely no action being taken there. So I'm kind of like, how does this work? When they're putting 30-40% tariffs on our ag products, we should be retaliating and dealing with India appropriately.
Do you see the China, the markets have recovered since the shock of the announcement of the Chinese tariffs, but do you see the tariffs going away or the issue getting resolved in the negotiations?
Well, China's coming to the table. I'm going to quote a friend of mine, Admiral Harris, who is the head of PACOM, Pacific Command. He said, in his lessons dealing with China, he said, China negotiates so China wins and China wins. Be careful. China may offer up something that's not particularly relevant and not solve the problem. I think that Ambassador Lighthizer is a very skilled negotiator. I don't share his philosophy of trade, but I think he's very capable of evaluating whether something's a good deal or a bad deal. And I think he doesn't think that the first round he's going to get a good deal, and so he's prepared to impose the $50 billion of tariffs. If I had to guess, I'd say it's. I would prefer that not happen, but we have to prepare for that happening, and then we'll see what happens. We haven't yet noticed a public comment on the $100 billion. So I think this is the first trial balloon, and everybody's going to be posturing, and we'll see what happens. But we expect that if those tariffs go into effect and we have the counter tariffs, that will happen sometime in May.
If the problem isn't resolved before fall, could it cost the Republicans a midterm Senate election in North Dakota?
Well, I don't know. I think it's not the only issue that people have to resolve. I guess I think that when you look at politics, that I've always said this, that good politics is good policy and it's fighting for people. I think that I've been particularly aggressive on trade because I've seen what trade disruption can do to markets and long-term relationships. Literally, North Dakota and a number of states have invested millions of dollars in these trade relationships. If you put that on the balance sheet, maybe you put it down as goodwill, but I think it's definitely an intangible that's being eroded every day by this kind of tough trade talk that's unnecessary. And so I'm going to be as aggressive as what I need to be. I hope he backs down. I think, quite frankly, the only reason he will back down is because we've been talking tough. Mm-hmm. So people who say, well, just let it be, that is not a strategy. This administration needs to know what the hurt's going to be if this happens. And when people say, we'll weather this storm, I say, tell me in 10 years how you're going to weather the storm when you've disrupted relationships. The one thing I will say, Mick, is back when I, in the 90s, when I did a lot of trade work with the USTR, when I was pretty involved in analyzing trade agreements, your way around NAFTA, trade was, there was not a lot of other supply. So you could have some back and forth without fear of losing markets. That's not true today. The position that Argentina and Brazil are in is completely different than it was in the early 90s and late 80s. right? Yeah. So when you're looking around and you say, well, we did this and it didn't hurt last time, look at where the competition is now and look at where the competition's ready to pounce. What's the first thing Mexico did after the election, when they believed that trade was on the agenda, when there was a lot of tough talk in the United States that was, I think, problematic for the Mexican government? They turned to Argentina to buy yellow corn. And so they know that they have other options, and they're willing to exercise those. Now, I don't think Argentinian corn is as good as ours, and I think the basis is too high. And I think that their trade restrictions are too great. But that's not to say that Argentina isn't going to love having our market. I just don't see that. We have a brand loyalty for American products that we can't take for granted.
The Main Street Relief Bill in the news lately, or being debated, it's the Dodd-Frank rollback bill. Why is that important?
You know, it's really interesting because there's just been a lot of people who have overly exaggerated it. But to me, the bulk of ag lending happens in these community banks. We want to keep them vital. Want to keep them very, very, very aggressively involved in their local communities. And they need regulatory relief. And so I'm proud of the work that we've done on the bank regulatory relief bill.
Okay. North Dakota U.S. Senator Heidi Heitkamp, thank you for the visit, and thanks for the work you do here in D.C.
You bet. Thanks, Mick. Welcome to Washington, and next time I see you, I hope it's in North Dakota.
Yes, well,
it's 70 degrees there today, I heard.
And as we mentioned, our visit here in Washington, D.C. this week brought to you by the North Dakota Ethanol Producers and Degelman.